Hello and welcome to the Irish Hunting Podcast, brought to you by myself, Brendan McGuire, and Anthony Grogan. We're going to be bringing you all the best hunting, fishing and field sports from around the country. Welcome back to the Irish Hunting Podcast on episode 35. On this week's episode, we will be discussing the benefits field sports have with regard to mental health. We'll also bring you a roundup of news and events from around the country. And on this week's Let's Talk Gear section, we bring you Air Max Arms range of air rifles. Hope you all enjoy. Anthony Grogan, how are you keeping, lad?
How are you, Bernie? How's things, man?
What's going on, man?
Feck all now, man. I'm just on the way back from Centre Gold.
You had a good evening.
Had a good evening. Great. Yeah, we'll discuss that in more detail. But
yeah, we're going to get into that now shortly, yeah.
How are you keeping?
Not a bother, man. Not an absolute bother. We're on the Kinnegar, am I pronouncing that right?
Kinnegar.
Kinnegar farmhouse beers from the good old Donegal, man.
Yeah, now you're not a mad fan of this one.
I'm not. But I don't like citrusy beers. Yeah. So I read it and I didn't see that information on it because if I had, I wouldn't have bought them. But you're loving it.
I think I told you my solicitor, his buddy, up in the lovely county of Donegal, makes this beer, and he kindly sent me down a couple of cans of it for Christmas. Now, I think they actually do a couple of beers in this range that aren't as citrusy as that, which I think you'd like.
Yep.
So, Kieran, send us down another couple there.
Lovely stuff, yeah. He's your solicitor, he must be a good one, so. he's busy. Yeah, I was going to say, he has his work cut out, said the poor man.
Yeah, unfortunately so. I love it. That would be now right up my street. And I knew the minute you produced them out of the fridge, I said, you're not going to like them, Brenny.
I couldn't see, honestly, because I purposely do, because remember the last time I got one and I read in the bottom of it, it was like, what does it say, mango and citrus and all this shit. So I tend to avoid those, but I didn't see it on there. But I'm just having another look here
now. Was there taste and notes on it?
I don't know, was there taste and notes on it, man?
I can't read it.
Loughsuilty natural cultural history is captured beautifully in the Irish and English place names that mark its coastal features. Beneath the Knockgalla Hills lies Scraggy Bay. Given local narrative. No, it doesn't say, I don't think it says anything about the tasting of it at all. But it's a good look of stuff. The can is cool.
The can, yeah, it is deadly, isn't it?
Yeah. Which would you prefer, beer out of a can or a bottle?
That's a good question now.
That is a good question.
Kind of like when I'm, you know when you're out a Barbie or something, I like a bottle.
But I just find bottles, I think bottles get warmer a lot quicker, don't they? Or do they? Probably do.
But then I find bottles, like, because you're probably drinking a few more, like, you're drinking, you know, there's a little bit less in the bottle, obviously, than the can.
Yeah.
So they tend not to last as long, maybe.
Yeah, true. You know? Yeah. And there's a lot of gas in bottles too, though. Do you mind that as well?
Yeah, funny enough, when I know with Stevie White here last week, we had the Madry beer and found that couple of seconds out there, trying to steer away from the microphone for a second.
Yeah, honest to God, yeah. I was firing for 3 days after.
Yeah, exactly, man.
What proof is this stuff? Is it this usually tends to be a bit sort of 5.3, beat it blue, not too bad.
That actually reminds me, one of our buddies there on Instagram, I think he's called Hungry Hunter, but he brews his own, Hedro type beers, you know.
Okay, yeah.
Fantastic stuff. And savage. Cooks a lot of wild game, obviously. So
nice.
I just sent him a little message. I said, you know, beer from the hedges and food from the forest. He was saying, geez, I must use that
logo
caption, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't it? Like, yeah, deadly. Brilliant, yeah, absolutely,
know?
Class. Yeah.
Was it raspberry infused fucking beer or something? Wow.
I don't know. Yeah, but see, raspberry is different than, I wouldn't class, like, raspberry's not citrusy.
You know
what I mean?
It's so the citrus one that does you, yeah.
It's the citrus one that does me, man. Yeah, exactly. But look, we gave it a go. But getting back to just on the bottles thing, what people never use over here is stubby holder. Have you heard of a stubby holder?
The I have one at home.
Oh, yes, like a neoprene.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So
big over in Australia.
Oh, man, you have to have a stubby holder. Yeah. And all of them I had, I don't even know if I brought any home, but yeah, stubby holders are the job. Keeps it nice and cool, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I have one at my home, I think. Budweiser, never fucking use it.
Budweiser used to do an aluminium bottle.
Yes.
Do you remember those?
Yes.
You used to get them in Croke Park.
I actually think I have one at home.
And it'd be ice cold. They were game changer, man. But Budweiser, you drink a bottle, man, it'd blow the tits off you.
No, no offense, man, but piss, I don't like it.
No, I couldn't drink it anymore. Oh, jeez. But when I was younger, it was religiously.
Yeah, well, of course, that was the thing, yeah.
That was the thing. It was Budweiser and then onto the fucking Red Bull. Oh, man, I never had a hangover.
But did you not know?
No, when I'd be younger, like, you go out and drink 9 or 10 pints of Budweiser and then straight into fucking Red Bull, wake up next morning, 100%. Whereas now, man, if I fucking even look sideways at any lager, oh, be Jesus.
Yeah, I wouldn't be a mad fan of the traditional lagers now, the Carlsberg or the Heineken.
No, no.
They just do not. I like them kind of beers now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Beer with notions.
Yeah, yeah, honestly, yes, exactly, yeah. That'd be wouldn't be too far away from myself now,
no, exactly, lad. None of that whole normal Joe Soap for you, lad. No
just
way.
Thinking about the stubby hole we were talking about there, you know. In true Irish form, we just give out about the bottle, and that fucking thing is warm, and that's in the press there. But
it's too much
hassle to go and get it. I'd much rather give out about the beer,
exactly. Yeah, and we still drink it.
We still fucking
although
drink
there is not worse than warm beer.
Oh, no, man,
it's a no.
That's a labour of love there, you know, trying to get through a warm beer.
No, definitely not, no. I love, my little thing is like, I think I've spoken about this before, I love when I'm out, when I'm mowing my lawn on the ride on, makes cold bottle of Corona, man.
Giving the fingers to the guards.
I get real hillbilly.
Turn on the lights.
Sitting on my lawn couch.
Pulling the handbrake on the ride on.
Just a real bowsy lad. Come here, what has been going on? We're going to talk more about your trip over to Mick and some of the stuff that Mick has at the minute. But what's been on the club? Have you been up to much or meetings or?
Yeah, we had our AGM. Did we discuss that last week? I can't remember.
Yes, we did. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
We did,
yeah. Oh, we did. No, we
did.
Sure,
did we? I can't actually fucking remember.
No, it wasn't. It was on the. Because Stevie was over on Tuesday. Yeah, no, Wednesday night was our AGM.
Yes.
Yeah, good turnout. Most of the lads turned up. And all the membership is all sorted out. New member in. We laid out plans. So our kind of breeding program is taking on. As I think I sent you. Yeah. The old Shane is helping me out with that.
Shane never fails to disappoint, boy.
What's Beatrice and
Jesus, well, he's a header.
I can't wait to have him on, man, because there's never a morning that he sends you a message he wouldn't cheer you up because he is, and I can't wait for everyone to hear him on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
He's infectious, isn't he?
Yeah, 100%, without a doubt.
But so we're that's cracking on. All our owl boxes went up over the weekend.
Seen that, good work. Brilliant stuff, yeah.
So and thanks to Anthony and Joe Mallon, huge advocates of the work we're trying to do locally, and it's not all the big companies locally that are getting behind us, unfortunately.
Which you would love to name.
We're in Super Value Ham now.
Yeah. Super Value Ham is class, anyway.
Where's that med?
Oh, it's not med in Tim Mahoney.
I know they're most definitely. I know they're going to support the local club.
Of course they will, man. Without a shadow of a doubt,
young and old members. And
yeah, they will now. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
no, they will. Yeah, but that's and then what else? Yeah, I was in the school then, obviously with the Cares of the Countryside program. So
yeah,
got them a lovely Wi-Fi camera Nest Box.
I need to see. You need to put up pictures of that.
Yeah, there'll be pictures in the Liffey Champion this week or next week, I think.
Good man.
They come out and
that's super stuff. Yeah. Man. Jesus, you have to keep us posted on that now.
I will. I got some, and then obviously Sarah, the young girl, is put forward now into the national part of the competition. So she goes forward to try and win a few bob for herself, hopefully. And we also got them, what else did we get them? Oh, a little 12 egg incubator.
Savage.
I purposely got the manual one, because it gets them interactive. They have to turn the eggs three times a day. And a big shout out to Maura and Maura Milner and Neil Hare, the the guys who made this all possible. Niall is the principal there, and just a huge advocate of kind of what would you say, rural country living. Is a big advocate of trying to keep the school its ethos of, you know, has gardens,
yes,
has vegetable gardens, polytunnels, wildflower gardens, fruit trees, you know, huge into that, and getting the kids out and getting their hands dirty, and
brilliant.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
just a throwback, I think it's refreshing.
Yes, yeah,
and you can see it in the school with the kids. They're just a bundle of energy, you know.
Yeah, that's brilliant, man. Brilliant. That's a bit, you know, the more that you see is brilliant. I'm all where Cooper School, I think, was it when he was in junior infants. The teacher, Mrs. Kerrigan, actually was her name, and she did something. She like took it on her own back, and she brought in the same. She did an incubator with eggs in it, and man, the kids, the way they got involved and interactive, and every more like they happen to turn the eggs and check on them, and every day they come, you know, couldn't nearly wait to get into school to see, and then the excitement and everything. So yeah, that was like more of that.
Yeah,
yeah, that's brilliant.
So yeah, that's I think that was that fulfilled the week, and obviously the yeah, look, we've this is only the start. And one of the guys, actually a new farmer that I've been doing the fox control, gave us a little bit of land to put up our new pen. So we've now in opposing ends of the club now.
Savage.
With pen, so which I kind of wanted.
Yeah, yeah, brilliant.
You know what I'm saying? So you kind of have common ground in the middle, you know, and obviously we've our X layers ordered.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming July. We have our poults. We have 60 poults ordered for July as well.
Okay.
And we should have the bones of 60 to 70 pheasant eggs being hatched.
Deadly, deadly. That's the right job now, yeah.
And we've a load of mallard hatching at the minute.
That's savage, man, yeah. So, have you ponds, or are you just ushers up, but there's water around where
yeah,
you are?
But we did a man-made lake years ago. It just needs a bit of work,
okay,
a bit of finishing off.
Okay, but grand.
We have loads of water locally anyway, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's one thing there's no shortage of in the Midlands, buys is water.
There you go.
And
yourself.
What's been going on with me? Obviously, I took over the position of the chairman this year.
Congratulations, Bernie.
Cheers, man. Yeah. Ross, the bowl, Ross McQuaid, he's going to be the treasurer, so we're going to kind of be working together on
the money was
on,
just resting in my account.
Yeah, honest to God, yeah. No, zero funds. We've a couple of new members coming in. Had actually one up here last night, and I just went through the constitution with him and got him to fill out some forms and stuff. And then I have to bring, so we've two new members this year, and I'm going to bring both of them out on Saturday and just walk them around the club, show them the land, show them do I have maps on out and the boundaries and where they can and can't go, and most importantly, introduce them to the farmers, the landowners, to say these are our new members. So, you know, to put a face to a name, and they don't have to look at this person going, is that or is that
is
not?
That,
so
yeah,
I think it's always very important to do that, you know.
Yeah, no, that's good work.
Yeah.
Any plans for this year, or just plans to try and?
Yeah, it's been tough now. Like this year, like we
lost a couple of members.
Yeah, we lost a couple of members, and then, you know, to be honest, between out of probably 12 or 13 members, there was four lads doing everything. So we were really stretched now. It was tough going, and the tempers were getting high. So I just think we just kind of take a step back, reiterate everything, go forward with a plan. Board numbers will be high this year now, because we still have a good few members. We've got a bit of sponsorship and stuff like that, so it's going well. We have got, obviously with our sponsor, we've got a peregrine box going up with a live camera in it, and they want to be able to, when you walk into their reception, they want to have it on a big screen.
Brilliant.
And they want to be able to, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we've that going on. We've took nesting tubes in some of the lagoons and a few bits and pieces. So yeah, we do our newsletter and bits and pieces. So we've entered into the Junior Club of the Year with Meath Regency Game Council, and so I think we're handing our tails and all in June, I think, so we need to drive it on now and
foxtails and stuff.
Yeah, like foxtails and stuff, and magpie wings, of course, and grey crow wings. So yeah, it's just trying to get the lads out and get them out.
Look, he's a little bit behind the going this year, I think, because, you know, the kind of reconfiguration of the club, and it's, as you probably mentioned there, it's probably no harm just to not to put too much pressure on yourselves this year. Get the establishment right, get the constitution right.
Yes.
Get all the groundwork this year and try and move forward with the lads constructively.
100%. Yeah, absolutely. And like, as I say, you know, Damien was, he was doing it before me, and in fairness to him, he made the club what it was. So it's, it's big,
a thankless job as well.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. You know, so big boost you're about to find out. I'm about to fucking find out. Sure, look, that's it. Sure, we'd look.
It's good. And look at, It's in my AGM as part of the yearly, you put yourself, you know, does anyone want to put themselves up for chairman, you know, because sometimes I'd be conscious, even myself, I'm only in it a year, but it might need, you know, a fresh pair of eyes, you know what I'm saying?
That's
always, you know, if you're standing still, you're going backwards, you know?
Yeah, no, 100%, yeah, without you. Oh, yeah, and look, it's up to the members to sort of elect it, as the fella says. Yeah. And yeah, exactly, yeah. Without a doubt, yeah. What sort of, I meant to ask you, numbers, so do you have you an official figure yet, and what numbers is are actually going to go for with boards? Or have you gone to the same place, more or less? Or?
We're maintaining our 100 adult boards
in
October.
Yes.
So we're going to still continue with them.
Yeah.
And then obviously our breeding program can be anywhere between 20 to 60, you know, depending on the 50-50 split. So that's a kind of, and then our poults, we're obviously getting 60.
Yes. Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah.
That, look, we've,
I know you're hoping to sex them, but yeah. It'll be good, man. It'll be great. Like, you'll have what would you say? You'll be surprised if you get good conditions and stuff and you get the poles. You'll be surprised, man. Like, I'm not blowing around, but you've seen some of the birds out of our unbelievable. They're in fucking some nick, but weather plays a fucking huge part in disease and stuff too. But you'll have some birds on the ground this year.
Look, we hope to have double birds that we had last year. That was the plan, you know. So some were 200 plus anyway, you know.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You know.
Have you my lads out there doing, is it just yourself? Have you my lads out there after foxes, or is it predominantly yourself? Or?
The foxes would be kind of one of them. The vermin control aspect would come down to the kind of the same few, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now this year, I can already see there's an uplift with some of the members, you know, and which is great to see, but... nighttime shooting, I'm the only one that probably does nighttime shooting.
Yeah.
We have one of the guys that comes in with the hounds and the lurchers and stuff. For the fox drive, you know, and that kind of happens every 3-4 weeks, maybe.
Yeah.
But like that, it'd just be hard to get the numbers at them, you know. It's normally a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So it doesn't suit everyone, but we've actively, funny enough, probably definitely the last year there's been a big, I'm not just saying it just because I'm in a year, but you'd notice it over the last year there's been an uplift, because I suppose we're focusing on there's a few bob up for grabs in the vermin control pot, and we've actually tried to get it, and funny, it's been reflected a little bit, like just visible. Birds are more visible on the ground, you know. I noticed this year anyway, you know.
Yeah, oh, definitely, yeah, 100%. It's like we always say with all these, which is conservation work, which is essentially what we're doing, vermin controls, it's just part and parcel of it. Like, absolutely, 100%, without you, yeah. If you're not doing it, you might as well fucking forget about it.
And the more you do it, the more benefits on the other side. So.
Yeah, well, it's counteractive. Like, if you don't do it, okay, if you don't do it, so if you have a herd of foxes, if you have a family of foxes and you don't control them, then the numbers get out, then your pheasant population declines. But also on the decline of the pheasants increases the foxes. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
because their herd is getting bigger and stronger. So it's a knock-on effect. It's not just the fact that, you know, you're not shooting any pheasants, you know, but the foxes, you know.
Plus the fact, Brenny, like I was thinking about this the other night, like our club ground is like a needle in a haystack.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like around us we have bogland and forestry and other farmland and dairy land and
huge
that's
area.
Not part of the gun clubs.
Yeah.
So like you have huge fox populations in them. So all we're doing is nipping on the edges. Like for people to think that, you know, we're out there decimating, like, you know, as quickly as you can nip 100%. Four or five more coming in.
All you're doing, man, is you're just trying to keep some sort of a give them control, some sort of a head start. That's all you're going to do, like, really, you know.
I looked at the book actually because Noel, our guy, keeps track of the last, I don't know, 40 years of the vermin count.
Yeah,
you know, but
yeah.
I just flicked through the last 6, 7, 8 years. Foxtails, you know, 150, 155, 138, 147. Just these are, so the numbers are consistent every year, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For people thinking that, oh, like,
yeah, you started off 1,000 the first year.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're not. It's consistently banging at the 150, in around that kind of mark, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Good stuff, man. It's all going the right way, isn't it? Won't feel it creeping in either.
No, like, geez, we're at the end of May now, you know?
Yeah, honestly, man, you won't feel like, no. June, July, August, boom, September 6th, we're under the air.
We've 4 weeks to get honest to God, you know? 4 weeks to get the new pen up.
Yeah.
Because, like, you want to up before July, before the new polls and stuff start to come.
Yeah.
New polls come, that's hell for leather, feeding and looking after, and then, as you say, then it's just...
Yeah, you'll have to do up some sort of a roster then, I suppose, for going in and keeping an eye on them and stuff, and
and we want to get more feeders out.
Get some more feeders out. I'll tell you what's a handy tip. We've used it, I think I've shown it to you, for the price of them, I think they're not that dear now. Maybe they're 200 odd euro. The trail camera that sends you a picture.
Yes.
Do you know the one I have? The what is mine? A Spy Pint Link Micro.
Yeah.
Some job. Do you know, because just, you can have it there at a pen. You can position it somewhere like that, next or near a pen, and anything untoward goes in it, you'll be notified straight away.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You get a picture straight away. So,
yeah.
It's as good as CCTV, I suppose, without having a fucking live action camera, do you know?
No, I must look into that, Brenny.
Yeah, exactly. Will we move on with a bit of news?
We're onto the news,
100%.
Yeah, let's do it, right.
I'm going to kick it off. So this is just one thing we do just want to mention. I think it's very important. Now, I know there's a lot of, there's a lot of stuff going on at the minute. There's a lot of polls surveys and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, this is 100% for your benefit. And it's very important. But one of those in particular is FACES, the European Federation for Hunting and Conservation. Okay. There's an urgent call to action. There's only 2 weeks left to sign for hunting. So it's basically to go on, I suppose. It's a survey to do, I suppose, as well. But you go in and put a signature in it.
It's literally, what would it be, 30 seconds.
30 seconds, yeah, exactly. They're trying to hit 300,000.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure exactly the numbers at the minute. I think they're probably not 100 miles away from it. But it's just very, very important to go on there. Go on to FACES website, go on to their Facebook page. Everyone that's into hunting will know who FACES is. I actually think the president of FACES is an Irish fella. I think I heard him.
As far as I know.
Shortly, yeah. I can't think of his name. But anyway, very important to do. It takes you 30 seconds. Just go on and do it. Please, just go on and do it.
Yeah, we want, like, 300,000 signatures. It shouldn't be a huge deal across the European landscape. So,
no, exactly.
Yeah, no, we really want to hit that. And I think we should be driving this forward. Get on and do it.
Yes, exactly. So go on.
We'll throw a link on the Instagram.
Yes, yeah, exactly. It'll be very easy. Go on there and do it. Yeah, yeah.
Good stuff. Over to me.
Over to you.
Something a little bit different. So across the water in, I hope I pronounce this right, Belvoir Kennels. It's an open day in Nipton, the 10th of June. It's a dog show, lurcher, terrier, lure and whippets. There's hound parades. There's craft and trade stands on the day. Opens at 12 noon. There's a barbecue and, most importantly, a bar. Sounds like fucking...
Barbecue and bar, man. It's just when you hear those two things. Geez, it's like
guns,
it
bars, dogs.
Yeah, exactly. Just, but even those two things. Sold. If it was a barbecue convention with a bar and a barbecue, well, fuck it.
Yeah, exactly, man.
Do you know what I mean? Class.
But, like... And I know we'll get on to that because we've a bit of news and that type of stuff anyway coming forward, but I just think we're missing that kind of stuff here, you know?
Yeah, I know, definitely, yeah. There's an urgent need for it, yeah.
12 noon, and there's loads of different parts of that show. It's on, you'll find the details on Country Life, Farming and Field Sports on Facebook. 10th of June, I think admission's small money. I don't have it there, but small money.
Small money, yeah.
I really... fun
yeah.
day. There's something there for kind of everyone there.
Yeah, definitely. You know what I mean? Yeah,
it's a day out for the family. So
exactly. So yeah, that'll appeal to probably a lot more of our UK listeners and anyone that's kind of particularly interested in that. Like, you know, this is what you do. Go out, make a weekend of it. Get over there.
Yeah, meet like-minded people.
Exactly, without a doubt. Over to me. I just want to give a big shout out to Prosperous Game and Conservation Club. So it's the return of the Poker Classic. The venue is Dowlings of Prosperous, a right good old spot, a nice creamy pint in Dowlings for anyone that's thinking heading over there. Today is Friday the 9th of June, time 8:30. So get your tickets, I give out the number here, get your tickets 087-231-0107 or 087-238-81434. And they have their own Facebook page as well.
They do, and yeah, get on. I think Anto is the name of the man he was messaging me there, and they're a local club to us, well, semi local to us here, and I know they've been with COVID and stuff. The poker, that was their main source of kind of funding over that way. So
yeah,
You know, it's an important part of the club over there, and they've a lovely club over there as well.
Brilliant.
I know a few of the members there, so yeah, brilliant. Support it.
Downlands of Prosperous. Get over there.
Good night sport. Good night's entertainment. And Vivek, I know the proprietor over there. He's a good man. He'll make sure you're well looked after, well fed,
well looked after, and get those pints into you.
Absolutely.
You cannot beat it.
Yeah, and then the last one again. There's another little survey one, but there's a kind of a report survey circulating now. If you haven't got it, if you're a member of a gun club. Of the NARGC, you seek it out. It takes about 3 minutes for anywhere, 2 minutes.
This is the FEC one you're talking about, is it?
It's the NARGC report survey one.
Oh, sorry, yes, yeah.
It's been driven by the NARGC for its members. It's just a gauge. There's some questions on it. You know, how do you think the government's performing in terms of
you know, correct?
Do you think the FEC report is there's some kind of questions on it, you know, very simple, takes about 3 minutes, and they're going to use that data then to create like some sort of a report structure of their own that they can present.
I presume
to the government and say, look,
we've X amount of people here, this is what they're saying, you better have a look at this.
And I think that the feedback is that there have been plenty of people signing this or filling this out. So
yeah, I think I seen an email earlier on. I think they were blown away now. They were very surprised how many people have come on and done it, so, which is brilliant. That's what we just
need to keep that work going.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So get onto the NARGC website or that and you'll see that. And again, it'll be in most groups.
Exactly.
I think I was sent it from 3 or 4 different groups. So,
yeah.
So it's there anyway. So yeah.
If you don't have it, get on to us. We can send it on to you.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Come here till I talk to you. Right, we want to talk, I suppose. We've a lot of talk to talk about, but I suppose we want to do a bit of an introduction on this one. We want to talk about mental health, I suppose,
We both, we've long wanted to talk about this, haven't we, Bernie?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I know.
We've touched on it a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's a thing probably, especially for men. And I know it affects... affects everyone, but I think, you know, obviously because we are two men, we can talk about it from our own perspective.
Yeah.
I think in the world we're living in today, you know, 90 mile an hour, bang bang, fucking dropping kids, collecting kids, paying the mortgage, getting, you know, going to work.
Yeah. Recording a podcast.
Podcast, yeah. But isn't it? I think we lose a little bit of. Touch with nature one and just a little bit of fucking time out for ourselves, you know?
Yeah, definitely, man. Yeah. And I think if you're suffering with the head at all or a bit of, I suppose, depression or anxiety or anything like that, when you're a small thing can be a huge thing, do you know?
Yeah.
And if you're not giving yourself a chance to step back for a minute. Do you know what I mean? Just step out of the race for a minute and just give yourself a chance to breathe, I suppose, and rethink stuff. And
yeah, funny enough, going back to the meeting last Wednesday, you know, and this is kind of all intertwined, so bear with me, but we did a little presentation to our longest serving member, Noel Fox, and John Daly, JD's Pens, kindly did us one of them.
Seen
beautiful.
It. Savage.
and were engraved with our crest and stuff, and Noel's name and his service to the club and so on. And he was stumped, you know. And he rang me the day after because he was speechless on the night, you know.
Yeah.
As you would be, I suppose, you know. But and we got our youngest member to present it, you know, which was lovely. Rory actually presented it to him. So our youngest presented to the oldest. It was kind of like a passing of the guard type.
Lovely.
But Noel kind of said to me afterwards, you know, he said, sure, I love, you know, do you know what I mean? And being part of the club and, you know, getting out. And I said, yeah, but like, you know, it's just recognition of the work you do and so on. And he was back out again Saturday morning, hanging, you know, directing traffic and helping the boys with the owl boxes and, yes, and stuff like that. But I was just thinking, just in terms of that, like, the social outlet, you know, when you come to retirement age kind of here, and I know this is on one end of the scale, you're kind of forgotten about, you know, it's kind of like, yeah,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
especially in rural Ireland, you know?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And for him and many men like him, you know, be it a, you know, a men's shed or a game and conservation club or, you know, some sort of a, you know, obviously the pub was the kind of a social outlet for a lot of rural.
Yes.
Mass maybe, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But these were the kind of things that, and even with, I think a lot of the old age groups now were disbanded because of COVID, because, you know, it was, you know, the fear around them, and then I never really got back going. And I think that's a huge benefit. Like, there's a man of 70 interacting, me personally, on a almost second daily basis. You know, he's telling me how many pheasant eggs we got, or how the pens are doing, you know what I mean? Yeah. He's constantly helping me as a chairman anyway. He's making my job one hell of a lot easier.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's guiding me. So yeah, and obviously then that, I hope, gives him, you know,
yeah,
a bit of a spring in his step when he gets up in the morning, you know?
Absolutely, yes, yeah.
That's one element of it, I suppose. And then I think that the Monday night, me and you were both conversing through Monday. Yourself and McKeever, I think, went out, or Big Mac is.
Big Mac, yeah. Good old Big Mac, yeah. Yes.
You guys went out hunting, and like that, Monday was one of them days, Brenny, and I hope I'm not dragging this out, but I had, do you ever get that feeling where, you know, there's so much stuff to do that you want to get through, but you don't know where to fucking start. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And as quickly as you're ticking one off, five things are coming back into, you know what I mean? You're getting phone calls and,
yeah.
And it can all feel a bit, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. 100%.
And I haven't been training the last couple of months, really. It's been intermittent. I'm back training now the last 2 weeks, but
yeah.
So that hasn't helped because you're, you know what I mean? You're not.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, so, yeah, Monday was one of them days where I got to the end of the day, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock, and yeah, it was bang bang, and went up to my mum's for dinner and stuff, and but I had it was like a knot in my stomach, you know, call it anxiety, call it whatever you want. I can't explain why, you know, I couldn't pick, it's not one particular reason,
yeah.
But it was just one of them days, and I just said I want to go for, you know. I'll go fox hunting tonight. And I didn't care if I'd never seen a fox, you know?
Yeah.
But I got out, lovely evening, the gun on the back, down the lane, did a bit of spotting. And there's one, you know? Next thing, you lose half an hour, 3/4 an hour trying to stalk in and wonder.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or trying to call him in. Or,
yeah.
And all of a sudden you realize it's 12:30 and I come home and I had a bit of pep back in my step, you know?
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying you're going to be jumping out of your skin or anything.
No.
But it was the anxiousness and the tension was gone.
Gone, yeah.
Because you'd done a little bit of physical exercise.
Yes.
You got out in nature. You got out and seen a bit of...
Absolutely.
Seen rabbit's hairs, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that kind of... that retuning kind of almost gives you that reset. And I got up Tuesday morning absolutely wrecked because it was near after 1:30 by the time
you
didn't get showered, get to bed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
But I had a smile on my face.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
Oh, sure. Look, 100%. That's what I suppose. I think that does that for all of us. I think we all, you know, I'd be no differently. I remember even when we used to be young, for, you know, when you'd be a teenager and stuff, and you'd be a lot of shit going on, and you're fucking, hit, you know, there's times you wouldn't know whether you're coming or going, and you're mad. Be always my man. I'm sure your mad because she'd know you were in bad form, like, And of course, as lads, I suppose most of us, we don't fucking really talk about it. Like, you might talk to your ma at certain, but then you'll reach a point and you probably won't. Which is dangerous because you hold it in, and the one thing that it eats away at you then, you know, you can get it off your chest. But she would have always said years ago, the best thing you do now is just go for a walk. Just get out of the house and just walk the road. Just keep walking, you know. And we would have done it. And I'd be a testament to that. I think it's just whatever it is, man. And I think with hunting, it's one of those things. It's a step ahead again, because not only are you out in nature, which is healthy. It's food for the, it's sensory. I suppose you're out, you're getting fresh air, you're getting exercise, which has its, we don't need to talk about that, the benefits of that on its own for your own mental, your physically and mentally is unbelievable. And then as well, it gives you something else to focus on, you know, when you're out hunting, you're obviously focusing on the hunt itself. Like,
you're looking around the corner, you're taking your time getting over things, exactly, you're concentrating on what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know, there's books and there's apps and there's YouTube videos and courses on mindfulness, right?
Yeah.
And I was just thinking on Monday, right?
Yeah.
Like, what am I actually doing here? It's exactly fucking that. It's getting over a gate without making a noise. 100%. Trying to open a fucking chain. What is it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Concentrating solely on what you're doing.
What you're doing, yeah.
Then you're spotting something in the car. How can I get from there to there without me? So you're concentrating on every step.
Yeah.
Every move. And that is, here we are, right? No books necessary, because you have to do it. That it's automatic.
Yeah.
You're being mindful.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, I think what you're saying there, so my version of what you're saying is, rather than sitting there in a book and reading it out of a manual and saying, right, I should be doing this and I should be doing that, and should be, you're not focusing that. You're getting out. You're just automatically doing something.
You're going into your autopilot.
Exactly. And your mind takes over. So you're not saying to yourself, now I should be focusing on me hunting. You're automatically focused.
Yeah.
So that you don't need to tune
in. Clued in. Yeah, exactly.
And then I think as well as that, I suppose I break it down. You come home, you're in a shit humor. You've a ton of stuff going on in your head and you're stressed over money or health or family or whatever the case may be, right? And then you decide, look, I'm going to go out for a fox night. So you throw the gun over the shoulder and you head out across the fields. Calm night, windy night, whatever, doesn't matter, fuck. Straight away, you're out, obviously, you have the fresh air and you've got the exercise. So straight away, bang, you're in second gear.
Yeah.
You're getting going. Like you said, then you see something. So then straight away you're on that. Do you know what I mean?
Adrenaline spikes.
The adrenaline spikes. So you're focusing on that. Yeah. Then straight away you're like, how the fuck am I going to get over there? You're reading the wind.
Yeah.
You're looking at conditions. You're saying, how would I get in? Is he coming? Is he not? You know,
the moon is out. Do I need to get beside the hedge?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like you say, you come up to this fucking gate. What's the best way of getting over this? Without making a fucking ball of noise. You get over it or whatever. You say the fox comes in, he doesn't come in, whatever happens. But then, even if he runs 100 fucking mile away, but then you're thinking back to
what could I do different there?
What could I do different?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Or then you're thinking of, just remember the time that happened before and I went around and I got him or he winded me or that.
Yeah.
So straight away then it just opens up a whole other side of the brain and you're thinking, you know, and then you come home and I'll be honest with you, man, I've often, numerous times left this house in rag order. Hunting, and I spent 6 hours and got nothing, and I would come home in better form than I was when I went.
And I think that's the whole point of it. And it's not to suggest, because often, like sometimes you come home and you're not going to be jumping out of your skin like dancing around the kitchen ratting, but you will most definitely be in a better place than you were.
Yeah.
And I think there's kind of layers to it. Obviously, fox hunting is one of them things that we do here as part of the club, but then we also, me and you, go a bit rabbit shooting.
Yeah.
And that's another, almost another layer on top of that again, because I think, especially for human beings, you know, the when you're out hunting, obviously the senses are elevated a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, because you're hearing things that you probably wouldn't be hearing. So you're, next thing, what's that noise? You know, two ducks breaking out of the ditch beside you, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or a couple of snipe getting up. So you're alert to all these sounds going on, or even when you're stalking on a fox and you hear the blackbirds moving in the hedge. Is that one going up? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you do. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So these are kind of like, what would you say? They're they're age old techniques, you know what I mean, that are all coming back to, you know what I mean, we're like a computer, you know, these are they're down there in our hard drive somewhere, we know how to do this, or we're learning all the time. And then when you shoot a rabbit as well, or food or quarry as well, you know, be it when the season's on for deer and pheasants and stuff like that, and you're coming home with that,
yeah,
that has another layer to it, because not only then have you got all the benefits we just spoken about, but then you get that kind of, again, that throwback feeling. You're coming home with food for your family on your shoulder.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or food
for
yourself, you know.
Yeah.
And that has another added, I think, another added benefit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a real feel good. It's a and obviously the health benefits of that quarry versus your store bought is doesn't need much talking about, but I just think that adds another layer to it, man.
Definitely.
Do you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more, man. Yeah. I think if we just slowed the fuck down a little bit.
Yeah.
And if we just take time to
cheers.
If we just take time to actually appreciate some of the stuff. Like, I was out, like, I know it could be years ago, and I always remember this, I never fucking forget, and it's not anything amazingly spectacular that hasn't happened to hundreds of thousands of other people. But I remember being out, and we were in the middle of building the house here, and, like, you know, that's like, it's so fucking stressful, man, you know? It'd really wear you thin, and both of the kids were, I think, Cooper was 5 at the time, and Hannah was 3, I suppose, you know, hectic, like, and it was hectic, like. And I remember I was coming down here to put in the duct for the fucking ESB. And I just said to myself, I came down and I had everything kind of ready to go. And I was working around the clock at the house. I was working for Komatsu at the time. And, you know, I'd be in Scotland this week doing machines and fucking carried next week. And just crazy. And I remember one Saturday, I was coming in here to put in the duct. And I just said to myself, I actually can't do it today. And she just looked at me and says, what do you mean? She says, I just can't. I said, I cannot bring myself to go over to the house today. I'm just burnt out. I said, no, I just can't do it. Like, and she says to me, she says, why don't you just go off hunting there for the day? You know, she says, just go off. Yeah. She says, take the fucking day. So I says, fuck it. So I threw the tutu on the shoulder and headed off after a couple of rabbits. And I remember it was nice enough sort of a day. And I remember laying down underneath a tree. Now, this is like something you think I'm fucking like reciting poetry, but I remember laying up against this old birch tree, and I was sitting there for maybe an hour, and I was just kind of fucking thinking about stuff. And you know what I mean? And you know, then you notice like the long grass blowing in the wind.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to get at now?
Yeah, the stuff that you read about in the poetry and the books and all that kind of stuff, but never really
think about it. And I was just looking at this beautiful green, lush grass, and it was just blowing over, just bending over in the wind. And you know, you hear the rustle of the you look up and you see the rustle of the leaves and stuff on the tree, and the kind of the sun was coming out, and then there's the smells and all that sort of stuff. And I never forget, man. I just heard this very distinct noise, and I straight away I says, like, it's a swan. I 100% I knew, you know, the noise is swan. I can't make it, but you know what I'm talking about. And I just looked up like that, man, and out across the tree, 5 swans flying.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Which isn't like, that's not, but just at the time I just looked up and I just said to myself, my Jez, man, how lucky am I?
Isn't
that one of the most beautiful things?
That's it goes, I think we preach it here every night or every day we go out, or every night we go out, there's something you see, you know?
Yeah.
And that you appreciate, or you say, geez, wow, or what was that? Or, you know what I mean? And I know you have one of them, which we'll discuss in a minute, but
yeah.
But like, I think if me personally, and this is my own, similar to your own story, we all try and, you know, we all try and do too much, I think. And then you get to that point, and it's almost too late when you get to that point where, you know, you're absolutely burned out. And our thing is, try and have that kind of release valve before you get to that. You know, we shouldn't need to go right to the edge all the time. And I'm guilty, the same as yourself, of doing it, you know.
Yeah.
Almost to the point where, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're tipping over the edge. And but, like, you should, if you can do, like, pick up a fishing rod or go for, you know, or there's clubs there in terms, there's clay clubs now. If you if you're yeah. not into the hunting and killing element of the sport, there's long distance. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And
there's a social aspect to that as well.
Yes.
And you're still getting out and about. You're still getting out in the fresh air.
Yeah.
Meeting like-minded people.
100%. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think I would have searched for something for that, like, especially my 20s. You know, you know, obviously kids young and stuff like that, and you know, you're trying to build a house and then obviously build a business, and so all this thing is kind of, you know, and all of that stuff is like, especially the mortgage and building the house and you know, the business and going to work every day. That's, you know, that's the unnatural part of life, I think.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah,
that's the constructed part that we have to do to conform
get to
in
to be,
the societal
yeah.
box now, you know.
Yeah.
So all that is really unnatural. So to counter that, you have to have something. You have to have an outlet, be it a, you know, get out and golf or,
yeah.
You know, do fucking something, man.
Yeah, definitely.
It's,
man,
outside.
Yeah.
Get your feet in the grass. Get your feet in the water. Get you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Cross a ditch. Jump a stream.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. You know, sit there and watch a fucking hedgehog. Just watch a hedgehog.
Yeah. And if you can do that, the more often I think you can do that. Or even I found now, you know, especially during the week, we both have hugely busy lives, and if you can get an hour, half an hour, as you say, when you go for a wander, be it with a gun in your back or not,
yeah.
down a field or a country lane, or if you can't do that, if you're in a town and stuff like that, try and get somewhere to a park or something that
yeah.
you can get your foot in the grass.
Yeah.
Take in the smells and the birds and the trees. Like, we're no matter where we are here, you have a park somewhere.
Yeah, we're very lucky. Like,
absolutely,
know,
fair,
we are very lucky. And no matter where you are in the country, you're never going to be really any more than fucking 20 minutes.
20 minutes away.
Away, yeah, 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 from yeah. somewhere like that, you know. Definitely, you know.
The other side of that, I think I've read a couple of stories where, you know, farmers have had to stop people crossing their land now because it was, yeah. you know, lads going out with dogs where there was no dogs allowed. And then there was other, you know, where claims obviously have become.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, like as a country, you know, we should really be kicking back against this stuff because,
yeah.
like, there's madness happening with protesting and burning the tents of people who have nothing. You know what I mean? And yeah. I find this fucking nonsense, you know.
Yeah.
And really, like, this is what we should be, you know, up in arms about.
Yeah.
Is the destruction of free will, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Listen to Joe Rogan, you sent me the podcast, and they're so lucky they've kind of national wildlife parks where
yeah.
anyone can hunt and
camp and loads camp. Of things. Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, 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 definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why can't we fucking have that here, yeah. man?
And I'm not being smart. I think I touched on it. I nearly certainly touched on the last one or the one. And it's one of the biggest issues that's crippling the country in all aspects is insurance.
Yeah.
You know, it really, really fucking is. Like, why don't we? It's insurance. Even the national parks in my life, they would be, do you know what I mean? Like, if they open up the park, like, anyone can go in and camp. You know, somebody's going to go in, trip, fall, break an ankle, fuck whatever. Lost. You know,
yeah,
claim
yeah.
straight away.
But I think there should be just a like, God almighty, they can write in fucking legislation now to deal with anything.
Yeah.
That if it's a national park,
yeah,
you enter at your own risk.
Your own fucking
you
risk,
fucking,
man.
Do you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just, definitely, yeah.
And I'd have no problem. Like, I find it just horrendous, man, the thought.
Yeah.
I think there was a couple up in Wicklow, wasn't there, you know, that some of them walkways and stuff like that, which had to be kind of clothes and stuff like that because of claims and
yeah.
you know what I mean.
People sure. are, I know, man. It's like
what kind?
I know
of
it's. I just because you said it's very relevant to that. At the minute in Ireland, right, motorbike racing has been, and I'm not sure about cars, but I know motorbike racing has been completely decimated in Ireland at the minute because I think nearly all versions of motorbike racing, albeit maybe not for Mondello, but all road racing and motocross racing at the minute, this year has completely ceased, as far as I'm aware of, because they cannot get an insurance provider.
Yeah.
You're talking about some of the biggest, you know, like the Northwest and stuff like that, not going
yeah.
ahead. And like that's in large part because obviously people have accidents and claims. Just a quick little story of myself. I had 2 years ago, I had a horrendous fucking motorbike accident. was doing a race over in Carverstown in Kildare, a motocross race. Was in the middle of building the house and all that, and came off the bike and put all the bones out through my arms and done my ACLs and fucked up my ribs and back, everything. Spent 9 days in hospital, and yeah, I'm still probably trying to get over that. I put my arse on the seat of that bike. Do you know what I mean? I put myself, I made the mistake. I made the fuck up. There, no one else has to be liable for that. There was me that made that fuck up. Yeah. I knew what I was getting myself into. Do you know what I mean?
I understand. Yeah, look, there is another side that, you know, as I'm kind of saying it, you know, like, what do you do? Like, say, there's men out there racing and they've kids and mortgages and stuff.
Yeah.
And they may be incapacitated or maimed because of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because of the choice they made, then there's going to be an argument out there. I'm being devil's advocate here, you know, where, you know, what happens to the family and, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So 100%. I know that's when insurance kicks in, you know, but as you rightly said, there has to be a clear line, you know, that as you say, if you do this, then, you know, like, you're not stupid getting on the bike, you know, like,
it's
with all due respect, there's men with more experience than you and 10 other people put together that have, you know, they're no longer with us because of motorbike.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, so, like,
everyone knows the risks, so you don't have to be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And no different than that. If you're walking up a hill, well, there's a good chance you might slip on a stone or slip on a piece of grass.
You're walking in a national park, you know, don't expect it to be tarmac.
Might trip over a branch.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Who put that boulder there from 8 million years ago?
Yeah. You know? Do you know? Like,
exactly. Yeah.
But I think, so there has to be some sort of, I think the car insurance thing has now kind of sorted itself out after. So the whiplash epidemic that was sweeping the country has now
ceased to some degree anyway.
Well, it seems to have disappeared all of a sudden. But do you know what I mean? And obviously within that group, there's going to be people caught up in that net that maybe don't deserve to be caught up, you know, genuine.
Oh, look, that's always, unfortunately, that's always going to be the case, you know. But like, exactly, like what you were saying there, like, with the, it'd be, in an ideal world, it'd be great if there was that people could access the likes of that, you know.
Yeah.
And just get out somewhere and do a bit of camping and really get in
nature,
into nature. Like, it's just the benefits.
And them parks should be then, like, I think I heard on Joe Rogan, you know, a lot of the species over in America, it was hunters that saved them, you know, because, you know, the whitetail and stuff like that in certain parts were driven because of, you know, in large parts because of, what would you say, construction and development and, you know what I mean, be it peripheral or farming, you know what I'm saying? So it was because of, I can't think of the name now, progression, you know what I mean? Evolution, you know what I mean? And it was hunters that came together and made it so that a large proportion of the taxes from hunting and the licenses and all that sort of stuff went back in to providing habitat and feeders and, you know what I mean, ensuring that there was no overhunting of the species. And to the fact now that there's, you know, wild turkeys over there thriving. You have the deer populations thriving.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they have their heads screwed on when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah, they're in large parts realist, you know, especially the...
Yeah, they are. But I think as well as that, like, they'd have a lot of backing. Like, there's a massive amount of people over there hunting. Hunting, unlike here, is not seen as, like, something that just, it's, you know, disgusting, barbaric, unhuman. A very minority amount of sick individuals that do it. Over there, it's, they know what it's about.
Yeah.
It's fucking part of who they are and part of what they are and stuff, you know.
I think over here, man, it's kind of like we've gone from... You know, it's like somebody put the foot on the accelerator and went from 0 to 1,000 overnight, like, because we went from being like a predominantly rural, semi-backward, church ran state.
Yes,
You going to open that with your new bottle opener?
I'm going to open this. Do you see my new bottle opener?
Sorry.
You have a better one than that. I have a better one. Oh my God, we're going to talk about these things.
But, a church ruled state.
Yeah,
you know, not too long ago, to being, you know, the kind of, what would you say, the self proclaimed progressive country in Europe. You know, I mean, we're were the first to do everything, you know. Yeah, exactly. In some instances, but that doesn't make everything fucking
right.
Great.
No, you know? I know, 100%. It's at the minute. I think it's popular opinion is right opinion at the minute.
Yeah,
that's what it seems to be. But it's fucking.
And I know we touched on it as well with the hunting thing, and we have to, because there's going to be people saying, well, like, you don't need to kill hunting to improve mental health. No, you don't. No, I understand that, but. Killing, unfortunately, whether you're eating your biscuit or your steak, you are killing something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether you want to admit that or not,
it
depends on where your moral compass, I think, lands in terms of what's an acceptable,
what's cute
level,
enough. What's cute,
yeah,
and what's not,
yeah, exactly. Or if it's not seen, it doesn't really matter.
No, exactly.
You know what I mean?
There was a study done, and I'm going to go back to mental health, but there was a study done a while ago, and it was the amount of people, like, just say, for instance, 80-something% of people didn't see it as being cruel, fishing, like killing fish, you know?
Yeah.
But like, if you killed a rabbit, like, oh, gee, dirty. But it's just purely because of the whole visual aspect of it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's still an animal. It still has every right, but you know, you could say to be there. But it's because of the whole visualness of it.
Yeah.
It was cute. Like we've talked about before, going out into a field there and ploughing it. Like, why do you think all the seagulls and crows are in the field? It's because they're eating everything that cultivator has chopped up to fucking bits.
Yeah, yeah.
Frogs, mice, it's fucking everything included.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, when you see all those flocks of seagulls, that's what they're doing.
Yeah. Does your moral compass land on the part where, a deer is not acceptable, but a rabbit being milled by a combine is?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Do you know what I mean? To make your bread.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Yeah, exactly.
But going back, I look, just speaking personally, Brady, I went through a pretty tough time at one stage, you know, and I remember... a good friend of mine put me in contact with a guy, and I don't mind saying this now, you know, but it wasn't a case that, you know what I mean, thankfully for me anyway, you know, it didn't become an issue to the point where, you know what I mean, it got too bad to handle, you know, because I kind of recognized it. I talked about it to him, and he put me in contact with a guy, and we did kind of very simple, primitive kind of techniques and mindfulness and stuff like that, you know, which I found very beneficial, you know. In other words, trying to focus on just what you were doing at that moment in time, not what was going to be, not what was gone behind, some breathing exercises and stuff like that, you know.
Yes.
And all of which I find very, very beneficial, you know, and almost I utilize them now to probably accentuate the benefits that I get from, you know, doing what we do, hunting and fishing and getting out in nature. So like when you're out there, I almost kind of, it's like what I said about the layers, you know, with the rabbits and stuff like that. Like Monday night, it's hard to describe, but you know, there was stars in the sky, you know, it was real kind of smell of summer evening, wasn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? Yeah, I even one little thing I noticed, I could see the tractors and trailers come to silage.
You know what I mean? But that's kind of the buzz of the countryside.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah.
And you see the smell of, in the words of your man, July, what do you call him?
Who?
July,
Monday.
Monday.
Monday,
The smell of fresh cooked grass.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
It's like that, isn't it?
Definitely.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, without a doubt, yeah.
And kind of the midgets were out a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they were definitely fucking out. Yeah.
But like, there's all of that kind of, you know, that activity, like the countryside is predominantly silent, but if you listen properly, you'll hear all them things.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Definitely, man. 100%. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's brilliant.
But I think that, I've spoken, telling you off air, obviously I brought Dylan, my eldest lad, over to get his first gun today off making Centre Gold, you know?
Savage. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's
man.
A huge, that's a proud huge moment and
yeah,
stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That's a father and son moment. That,
yeah,
that,
yeah.
That's savage.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
And like that, you know, especially like young guys now, especially get a raw enough deal, man, you know, because like they've missed out on a couple of years there with COVID and stuff, you know, especially at that age, I think, is
Tough
they're,
on them,
they're,
yeah.
They're the really... When people say formative years, you think of, you know, the early... I think that's the formative years from becoming from a boy to a man, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yes.
And you make your mistakes in them years, you know what I mean? Like, the you go out and you fuck up, or you drink too much and puke, and or you know what I'm saying? Or,
yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean?
You
fall out with your girlfriend and try and figure out what you did wrong. And
yeah.
Still figure out 20 years later. But do you know
We're
what I mean?
All the same boat, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so like, it's all that kind of stuff. And I was just saying to him, like, my advice to him, you know what I mean? And not that, you know, I'd be preaching to him or anything, but get it going and get out and use it, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter if you shoot nothing for the first 3 months.
Yeah.
Appreciate what you're doing, you know what I mean? You're still learning. You're learning as much when you're not shooting as you are when you are shooting, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I was just saying to him, his journey for the moment when he'll pass on his knowledge and bring his, please God, his son or daughter over to, for their first gun, you know?
Yeah.
That journey, it starts now.
Yeah.
I can remember when I went in and got my first gun.
Yeah.
And little did I fucking know when I went in and bought that gun.
Yeah.
That I would be over, you know, 20 odd years later, fucking buying a gun from my dad.
Yeah,
do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's class, man, yeah.
But it automatically, I was just on the way home, and I was transported straight back that moment.
Yeah, exactly. Madly. Yeah, brilliant, yeah.
And I remember going in, and I had an expectation of what I was going to spend, and I blew that fucking budget. do you know what I mean?
Do you know what I mean?
I remember thinking, I'm only going to spend 400 quid, and that's it, like, and fucking treble it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember filling out the application as clear as I can fucking see it now.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, the furthest thing from my mind at that moment in time was this moment right now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yes.
Kids,
yeah, yeah.
And 20-year-old fucking son.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Honest to God, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Holy
so weird.
Shit. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you forget Dylan's 20. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
So, like, all of that sort of stuff, you know what I mean? It was kind of like wound up in that fucking. In that moment, and that, like, that's, you know, it's a kind of a passing of the guard thing, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
hopefully then he's picked up. I said to him, like, you know, because when he was coming out with me, I was essentially fucking learning myself at the time.
Yeah.
So I wasn't essentially passing the most beneficial of knowledge, but I was doing the best I could with the tools I had, as I suppose. Mm. But I said, like, you'll have a better skill set than I'll have, please God, because I said you're gonna have a lot of your hunting done, I fucking hope, by the time your kid comes along.
Yeah, so exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You'll be then able to, you know what I mean? And I said, go out and hunt, you know.
Yeah.
You know, find out, learn yourself. You know, like, the, you know, you've obviously he's the basics for me, and he's been out with me loads and loads of times, so he'll have obviously garnered some knowledge from that, but he's going to have to, you know, add to that himself.
And, oh yeah,
where's the best? If I was a pheasant, where would I be? If I was a snipe, where would I be? If I,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
if
exactly.
Deer, where would I be?
Yeah,
hanging,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
He'll find out all that kind of stuff himself. So
yeah,
I think that's just cool, you know.
That's deadly, man. Yeah, exactly. And as well as that, it gives him something else to be focused himself on, like in the long winter evenings and stuff. And
exactly,
you know,
man.
Exactly. He can get out and do his bit of hunting and get involved in it.
And I think as well as that, then so. The as I said, go reflecting on this, kind of the kids now, the 20-year-olds or the kids now, the lads, the boys, men now, young men now especially, there is a little bit of a void there, you know, for large proportions of men,
yes,
young men especially, and I think that because, you know, if you're not from especially in rural Ireland, I suppose, if you're not good at GAA, you were kind of
cast aside
a little bit, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
And they end up hanging around fucking street corners in village or town or something.
Yeah,
and complaining of nothing to do. And I think we're going to lose a lot of them if we don't show them there's another way, you know. And that there is in every town and village now. There's a fishing club. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
At the very minimum, you know.
Yes, yeah.
So we're not advocating saying everyone go out and get guns, and you know what I mean. But wherever it's possible, absolutely try and get involved in your local gun club and
yeah,
you know, game club and so on. But it could be just as simple as that, just getting, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. And again, like, I'm not against GAA at all. I'm sitting here in shorts. We're all avid Kildare supporters, and I actually train a GAA team. But I just think it'd be just great in an ideal world if there was a few more options out there and a bit more done for, say, younger people that are not really into the GAA or soccer or rugby or, you know, that sort of stuff. And again, I spoke about, I think, on one of our first podcasts about when we were in the tech, and I was telling you we had a teacher and he recognised that, and he brought us up for a meeting. And on our very first week, I'd say, in the school, and he says, look, he says, I just want to say, I realise, he says, that not all of you are going to be into football and soccer and hurling and you know, so on and so forth. So he said, if we can get a group of people together that have a similar interest, he says, whatever it is, he says, if I can accommodate it anyway, I will. So, but Jesus, I was looking around and young, about Gaza Maloney, he was up there and chatting away to a few of them anyway, and I, of course, went over and chatted him. He said, what do you do? And Gazza says, well, I do a bit of fishing. And I said, well, Jez, I love fishing too. I do a bit of fishing. And the other said, Jez, I'm mad into the fishing. Where do you fish? And, you know, so now not only were, like, we were only a week into first year, you know, so not only now were we kind of coming together on common grounds, but we were making connections.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we weren't all football. Now, we played football, but we weren't all these super athletes or super football players.
Yeah.
But now we were a group of people with a common interest and we were talking to each other. Do you know what I mean? And we went up to him and said, sure, how is he going to do this? And I says, well, like, there's 10 of us here to do fishing. And he says, fishing? Yeah. And he says, right. Okay. Look, leave with me. So we're like, grand. So I says, we'll never hear anything more about this. I swear, lad, I'd say by the three classes later, an announcement over the intercom. Anyone interested in joining Auckland's Community College Fishing Club, please come to the front hall now. And
like a bullet.
But now the gas thing is, they hate the fucking 6 years and all. They just want to dust. You know, he spotted them fairly well. But that was it, man. He got himself some funding, made contact with the local club in Eton Derry, got their representative, Paul Kelly. God be good to him. He's since passed away. He came up, gave us a talk. He bought boxes of fishing rods, landing nets, keep nets, the whole nine yards, man. And I think every, say, third or fourth Wednesday after school, he'd organise a bus, and that bus would bring us to a fishing, whether it's a bank of a canal somewhere, and Paul Kelly would be there, all the gear, and we'd fish for a couple of hours. And I know I've spoke about this before, but Mr. Doolin was his name, and if he's listening out there, I never forgot.
Yeah.
Ever forgot that. I think he was such an amazing teacher.
That's a fantastic uplifting part of that story, and there's probably a kind of sad side of it, in that we'll probably never see the likes of that now anymore.
No, you know? Unfortunately. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't know.
In a school, like, you know,
in
what
a
mean?
School, yeah, exactly. Do you know? I don't know if that's
with insurance and stuff like that. And then,
well, I'd love to know, and I'm putting it out there to all the listeners, if that's ever happened in a school, or it is going on,
or is
school,
going on. Jesus, it would,
let us
yeah,
know. I think
yeah.
that's just and if it's not, if you're a teacher out there, it should be. Like, I'm not telling you that you need to go out and do that, but like, think about what he was doing there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If your first week, and I obviously spoke, your first couple of weeks or couple of months in first year is a make or break time.
Absolutely, because that's where, you know, the what is it, the mini gangs and stuff
form.
People start to form
friendships that can last a lifetime, good or bad.
Yeah, and they'll shape your pathway through that.
Yeah. So he was getting people together and going, right, who has an actual interest in something?
Clever enough, Brenny, as well. Like, obviously, the if you're interested in something, he was picking out the guys and girls probably that were going to be active. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And
yeah,
there tend to be the guys and girls who don't really like the sit down and be quiet kind of style of it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know what I mean? Yeah, definitely.
So
yeah.
Ahead of his time in a lot of ways.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Man, he was absolutely, yeah.
And recognising that there's more than one kind of type of education, man, you know?
Absolutely. And this man himself was a huge GAA fanatic. I think he was could have even been involved, now don't quote me this, but I think he might have slightly been involved with Westmead GAA. Like, he was a real GAA man to the bone.
Yeah.
But he was thinking outside the box too, like, you
brilliant.
Know?
Brilliant.
So yeah, if he's listening out there, Mr. Doolan, I never forgot, and more luck to you. And the man is retired now, but yeah,
it's just an awful shame. You got him as a student, I suppose. Yeah, somebody that would actually take in actually, a bit of knowledge.
Exactly. He did retire shortly after. Yeah. I know, but
no, fair play to him. Man. Look
fair
at
fair to him. So,
ahead of his time.
Yeah, exactly. He was ahead of his time, without a doubt. Yeah,
yeah. But that's look. I think that's the theme of our podcast is dedicated to, I suppose, for anyone that's feeling where things are probably just getting a little bit. On top of them, absolutely. The first thing, obviously, is pick up the phone, talk to somebody.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
I think there's a saying: women talk face to face, men talk shoulder to shoulder. I think that's
true enough. And,
That's you know what I mean. I think that's we can all understand that, because even when we're not talking, I think like many's night me and you have gone out. You know, obviously, with fox hunting, very little talking because
you're foxing. Yeah.
But yet. You're spending time in company with somebody, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Isn't it? Yeah, absolutely, you know? Man, 100%. We done that with our challenges this year, you know. We at the start of the year, we said that was one thing. We both said, like, lads wouldn't be great at talking, but if you're rambling down a field, you might get a gist of a bit of it. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly,
how is things getting on off, you know?
Yeah.
Such a fucking round of me, or do you know what I mean?
Or you gauge the mood, something's not right with him.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah, you can, definitely.
I've often hopped out of the van, either with you or Rob or whatever, and I'd say, we'll solve the rest of the world's problems next night. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
You'd be talking about, you know, the and in a roundabout way, you'd be kind of getting something that was irking you or off your chest. Do you know what I mean?
Would. And it's gas sometimes, and I've noticed this with yourself and with Gaz and different times. You could come home and you'd be thinking, I'm in the right. Like you'd be pissed off over something or somebody.
Yeah,
and say,
yeah.
Fucking, you know, the X, Y, or Z, they did this or they done that or the whole lot, and I'm fucking going, I'm sick of this and that and other. And then another person might say to you, but hold on now, but think about it from this way. And then you kind of think, you take a step back and you go, yeah, holy shit, yeah, right. It's like, you know the way to say you should always count to 10 before you react.
Yeah, you know,
it's like that thing, you know, you're getting another perspective of going, yeah, I know, like it's not right, but think about look at it from this angle, and which you wouldn't normally do, and you go, yeah.
Exactly, right, okay. Man. I think you've rightly pointed out, you've said that a couple of times to me, and hopefully vice versa.
Them couple of, and
they're not very often, obviously, but definitely, I think that, you're getting a neutral perspective from somebody that you trust, you know, because obviously you're out hunting with somebody, you're trusting them, you know what I mean? You've a live
firearm.
If you don't, you might think about getting a new fucking partner.
That's a fucking sad.
But you trust their opinion, you trust them, you know what I mean? And you're obviously trust their confidence and so on. And I think that's, again, another side of it. When you're out there and you are walking, you're physically certain, you're obviously then, you've the nature aspect, which kind of, I think, brings you down a little bit, you know, drops the shoulders a little bit, relax a little bit.
Yeah.
And you're more inclined to say to somebody, fucking happened there last week, such and such, you know, said this or did this, or, you know what I mean? Or I'm having a fucking problem here, I can't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You're more inclined to share that, I think, when you're out and about. It's no different with lads out, you know, when they are in the GA team. You know what I mean? They're definitely. You know,
yeah, exactly. You could say you'd say, oh, fucking that misses mine. If she spends another cent on such a thing, I went home the other night and I had to do this, that, or other. Then it might like go, but you're like, it's your house, man. Or do you know, as I'm saying, but you're like, fucking hell, all she's doing is she wants it.
Do you know what I'm saying?
You know.
You might be seeing the perspective from this angle, and in all true stories, the there's three sides to it, you know what I mean? There's the left,
your
and right,
opinion,
and,
or opinion,
and the real, somewhere
in between, maybe, and that
could be for fucking anything. Yeah. But I even noticed with Dylan coming out today, I hopefully, you know. Because obviously he's working hard and he's trying to nix her and do kind of, you know, get a few bob together, and he's, you know, keeping the head down.
Yeah.
And the rugby's finished for the season, and so he's kind of, you know, he's obviously has a, and he's off the vapes now, you know, which is very proud of him. He stopped going smoking and stuff. And he was a devil for Red Bull, so he's gone off that.
Good on him.
But so he's kind of, you know what I mean? He's trying to progress himself. But I know it's a pep in a step coming out, you know?
Yeah.
Even we were testing the air rifles and stuff. Yeah. And he says, I'm going to get one of them, I think, you know?
Yeah, and he said, well,
we'll get your shotgun first now. And I said, the minute you have your shotgun, I said, go over and put a deposit on one of them.
Yeah.
Air Max. Yeah. And I said, then start the process all over again. By the time you've the application through.
Exactly.
On you go.
On you go, man. Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah, yeah. Well, good on you, man. That's good parenting. That is good parenting.
Buy a gun, son.
Buy a gun. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's good fucking parenting.
That is good.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Come here, speaking of Air Max rifles, you know what time it is, don't you?
Good, let's go with it.
And now it's time for a little thing we like to call Let's Talk Gear. Rightio, Let's Talk Gear, man.
Back again, Brenny.
This is an interesting one.
This is cool, yeah.
This is cool, yeah.
Surprisingly cool, man.
Surprisingly cool. I'm kind of half, what would you say, kind of wish I discovered this years ago.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Yeah. You know? We are, of course, talking about a brand of air rifles known as the Air Max Arms. And they're available in Central Gold Ammo in Rathmullane. And we bought one down separately. And we had a bit of a look and a bit of a play. And we got a few shots off. And
we talked to the guru, as you call him, Bernie. And Mick, by Jesus, he is.
Mick the guru. There's not much he doesn't know, is there?
Oh, man. He's fucking like an encyclopedia, you know?
Yeah, he is, man. Without a doubt, yeah. No, he's some bio.
These are some... I came out of there thinking, like, the when I was going down, right, you said to me about the air rifles, and I think you were the same anyway, because you had said it to me, like, the air rifles, like, you know.
Yeah.
It wouldn't exactly...
No.
It wasn't going to light your fire, you know.
No, exactly. It was like,
fuck me, man, I tell you. I would ask anyone that, you know, if you're into the kind of, like, varmint shooting or rabbit shooting, stuff like that, These are cool, man.
Man, as I said to Mick, and I reiterate, I think if you're thinking of maybe buying a 2.2LR,
yeah,
have a look at one of these first.
Absolutely,
yeah, because the capabilities of these are
and the accuracy, man,
unbelievable, man, unreal.
Do you know that swinging target he has?
Yes, like 60 yards. He had
I pushed mine out to 100, but this like just bang. Bang,
ping,
bang,
ping, ping, bang. Ping, ping.
Like,
yeah.
On the money, yeah. Every fucking time.
Every
man.
Single time, man. Did he get you to shoot off a little branch? Did he do that, no?
No, I sure. I was cutting trees, man. Branches.
There was like a little branch. See if there's one strand. He said, see if you can shoot it off.
Live it, yeah.
And one shot and mowed it. Now, I don't mean to act, but that's the accuracy of these things.
It's just phenomenal,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, like that, I said, because like that, I was going to suggest, even with Dylan, you know, obviously the first rifle, I would be hoping it would be a 2.2, I'd skip it, man, you know.
Yeah, you'd be nervous, I suppose, is a fair thing to say, you know.
Because obviously, there's loads of things considered there. So people are going to say, well, what would be the benefit of these versus a 2.2?
Yeah.
I'm not saying 2.2 has its place.
Oh, yeah,
because you're
going to
push more distance, obviously, on a 2.2.
Yes.
But for a guy or a girl starting off, right?
Yep.
The benefit of this is, well, obviously, you don't have that ricochet.
Yes, which is a big thing.
A huge thing, you know?
Yes.
And obviously, you know, the range is reduced greatly.
Yep.
Not like, I think some of the bigger, the slugs,
yeah,
up to 200 yards, you know what I mean? So,
holy Jesus, man. That's hectic. Huh?
But the smaller ones that we were popping there,
yeah,
I think 102, 105 yards, not a problem.
Yes.
So like, but yeah, like, so if you're teaching, you know, say you're 17, 18 year old, this would be a perfect, you know, for get on rats, rabbits, vermin, you know, grey crows and magpies and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Ideal. Absolutely perfect.
The safety is phenomenal.
Yeah.
What I liked about them as well, did you see that feature that
You can't double load it. Yeah, that's a brilliant
which
idea.
Which would have been one of the pitfalls of the
yes.
the older kind of brake arm type.
Yes.
Did I put one in and slug one down or didn't come out the fucking chamber and
yes.
you slug yeah. another one down to have it.
Yeah, put yourself in a world of fucking trouble. Yeah.
So I like that.
Yeah, I love it, man. Yeah. I love, there's a load of things, I suppose, in them. Like that bolting mechanism, the loading mechanism is just fucking cool. It's
cool.
Like, it's just little lever. You just pull it out with the side.
And back in.
Yeah, exactly. You have like a round magazine. I think it's a 14 round or 16 round magazine.
16, I think. Yeah.
16 round magazine, which is fine. You can have that on an air rifle. How many shots you can take on a tank, I'm far as aware, it's...
Yeah, so he was saying, depending on the slug you're firing. So on the smaller one, I think there's an L and an LB.
Okay,
The LB is the kind of the tube
on
the front of it, whereas the L, I think, was just long cylinder.
Yes, correct, right, yeah.
And
yeah.
I think, Stan corrected this, up to 90
rounds, 90 shots.
On the bigger one, the LB.
And the tank.
I think 60 was reduced about 60 in around.
Yeah, in around, yes. Yeah.
On the other one.
That's some going like. And then I think he says there's an adapter you can get. You can put two tanks on it.
Yeah.
And then did he show you the function that you can actually reduce the pressure?
Yes.
Fairly handy, like, which if you're inside in a shed or whatever the case may be. Like.
Yeah, you're close range. You don't want it popping through a galvanized, so you can.
Yeah, you can just crank it down a bit, like.
So if you're, for argument's sake, if you've pigeons and stuff like that, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Destroying the inside of a shed and destroying
the crops and
your
feed
crops and feeding the whole job. That it's a serious
ideal for
tool.
That. And fucking fantastic feature as well is the stock. You know the foldable stock,
deadly, isn't it?
And then the interchangeable stock.
Yeah,
they're all kind of customizable, aren't they?
Exactly. Is it like an AR chassis? Is that what they call it? It looks all in the world like an AR chassis. The stuff you can put on them is absolutely fantastic. But they're just such a fucking impressive piece of kit.
Showed me at the end. There's a suppressor, add-on suppressor you can get as well.
Yeah, I've seen that. There's like a muzzle brake and there's an add-on suppressor as well.
You put it on actually, and like that. Yeah, the triggers are all adjustable. And the thing again, if you are thinking about purchasing these, go over to the guys over there because Mick will customize it to your
liking.
You know what I mean? He'll set it up for you. I think that's the which is a fantastic service.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, definitely.
You know,
because everyone's different, like, you know. And I would have spoke about before when I had me 243. You know, it was grand, no bother with it. And I brought it over and he put a new rifle on it and he zeroed it actually for me and all because I bought a scope off him, sorry. And he said to me at the time, you know, I said, geez, that trigger's very heavy, you know. And I said, is it? And I said, I like that. What should it be? Yeah, I said, geez, no, you can have it like way lighter than that. Like, he said, sure, that, you know, you'd be pulling on it and this, that, and that. I said, all right, okay. And he says, well, I can lighten it for you. And I says, well, sure, yeah, do what you do, your thing. Man, the difference, like, unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm going to be bringing mine over as well because, like that, it was something that I don't really like on my gun anyway.
Yeah.
It's heavy and
yeah, it's just a long pull, like.
Long pull.
Yeah.
It's long. And obviously, you know, when you're out in the field and stuff, you know, the long pull is not really...
No.
The longer you're...
Yeah, the bigger chance for error.
Yeah. And a couple of little things, like small things.
Yeah.
Obviously, make a long distance shooter.
Yeah.
But the tomb from the back of the stock as well. In other words, bring the tomb on the side of the gun rather than wrap around.
Yeah, he was showing me that as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's God, yeah.
I just found that.
Yeah.
I found it unbelievably steady.
Yeah.
From stock, left and right, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
And then obviously, it automatically lightens your finger.
Your finger, yeah, exactly, because your finger's you have more of a range of motion.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But yeah, back to the rifles, like, I think it's, I don't know, it's less than 20 quid for a refill of air. They'll go over and you can tank up over there.
Yeah.
And
a box of rounds, is there a couple of hundred in it for 11 euro or something?
11 or 12 euro.
11 or 12 euro, like, yeah. It's as cheap as fucking chips, man. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so for 30 quid, like.
Two for a year.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, flat out, yeah.
Funny enough, when we were over there, he was just showing us, letting us look through a few glasses and stuff on some of the other chassis of the air rifles. And There was guys ringing actually, looking for ammunition for the weekend. And
was there?
Yeah. So like, he has a fair few of them out.
Oh God, he does. Yeah. There's some job now. In fairness, yeah. I think I'm actually not too sure where they're made. I think they're made in Europe somewhere. I'm not exactly 100% sure, but yeah, like you can go onto their website, Air Max Arms, Air Mac. Max Arms, I have a bit of a look at some of the stuff, but yeah, they're a serious
phenomenal
tool.
Phenomenal piece.
Phenomenal tool. I wouldn't, if I was going back again, which I don't have, but I would be, if I was thinking of a 2-2, I'd say, look at, I'm not saying don't buy a 2-2, but I would certainly go down and have a look at these first.
I would, because, you know, get one in your hand.
Yeah.
Have a little try one of these.
Yeah, definitely.
They're just, I think you're going to be, well, I can honestly say, we're not trying to sell them or anything, but I was just blown away from my young fella. I would be advocating that he would buy one of these before he buys his 2-2.
Yeah. You know, yeah, that's fair. Yeah,
and it's just from my point of view. Then obviously, rifle is obviously different than a shotgun. Obviously, both are, you know, don't get me wrong, they're dangerous, but like obviously with a rifle and stuff, you're pushing that extra bit of distance.
Yeah,
there's a ricochet element.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean, and obviously when you're not, you know, nobody's essentially is born with the knowledge of rifles and stuff like that. So it would be a lovely, I think, is a lovely start and
introduction. Absolutely,
I think you said there's actually people getting rid of some of their rifles and going to these.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised one bit, man.
Yeah.
Definitely, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I think I was mentioning I done a bit of a write up and a bit of a review on them for on the next episode of Rural Pursuits that'll be out in June. I think, is it?
Yeah.
Excuse me. I was just mentioning that the last time I used an air rifle was, do you remember if you were younger, you used to go into Spanish holidays, if you go over to Spain and it was like they used to do, what would you call it? There'd be different sports that they would do with kids and teenagers and stuff. One might be water polo, one might be fucking orienteering. Yeah. I wouldn't be doing water polo now, but
I went to a mobile in fucking Wexford.
Oh, did you?
Fucking Spain.
Okay.
Look at this fucker.
Sorry.
I'll just get back to my nice beer.
Sorry, but anyway, that's what we used to go over as we were kids. And one of them was...
Did you eat croutons in your soup?
Did I eat croutons in my soup?
You were one of them fuckers.
No,
yeah.
I definitely never. No, croutons. No, I never had croutons in my soup. No,
sorry.
Salads.
I digress.
but I remember one of them when it was target shooting and archery. So I remember reading this and I was like, what the fuck's target shooting? Straight away at my shooting. And I was like, yep, 100%. Yep. And they used to go down and he used to meet at the corner of one of the fucking apartments. And they have this little steel little tray on the wall and these little, you put in your card and you write your name on it. And that's what it was. It was just a brake barrel air gun. And you just put in your pellet and take shots. And that was the only one I'd ever used before.
Yeah.
And when you get older and you think of air gun, you know, air rifle, you think of them and you go, oh, fucking hell. These ain't that.
Yeah. No, these are next level. And I just think even with the there's loads of cool features as well. You know, there's a little hidden chamber in the stock for storing a little bit of ammo. You can have a couple of magazines preloaded, clip into the bottom back of the stock. Then you can have the wooden,
do you see some of the
wooden stock,
the stock
and then the wooden hand grip, so you can kind of customize it to your style,
man. And fuck yeah, I'm thinking of getting one.
I know, man. we could do the Irish Fairman Basher,
honest to god, man. Look at the amount of views that fella gets. It's human, isn't it?
And if anyone does it, like, that is phenomenal. I don't recommend it now because, like, you'll spend fucking hours watching this fella. Another one.
But
I was just saying to Mick there, like, it would give you a grom. I don't know where I'm going to get the time to fucking do it, but
I know. Yeah, I know. Night vision scope on that. And it was some crack.
So you wouldn't come in, Brendan.
Shooting rats. Well, you wouldn't, man. You would definitely not. No, just shooting rats would be fucking savage, yeah.
Price-wise, he was saying the different models, obviously there's 100 quid or between kind of each model. But I was just asking him, like, for a man or a woman to go in there and walk away with, you know, a good scope and the Air Max rifle underneath their arm, ready to rock.
Yeah.
Pumped up with air, and a few bullets in their arm or slugs in their arm.
Yeah.
In the packet, not on their arm, rather. Not in their arm.
Not in their arm. No,
no. Hopefully
that'd
not. Anyway.
That'll be the opposite of what you'd want. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, $2,000, you know.
Okay.
Either side of $2,000, depending on which model. So
yeah, and then you're talking about, obviously, there's glass included in that. You have an optics included in that. So
I think this is start around $1,400.
Yeah, yes, there you go. Yeah, exactly. You know. Yeah, yeah, that's fucking savage, like. I think that's deadly. Like, yeah, I would urge anyone that is thinking about give Mick our Central Gold Ammo a shout, anyone, just, you know, even get a look at one, because you'll be very, very pleasantly surprised.
We got a slug off, you know, obviously against the targets, and then one in, there was a field being kind of ploughed.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. There he's Mick's targets and stuff set up, and like that, just let one off into the ground, like,
yes.
And you want to see the rip of it, you know? Up the fucking...
Oh, I'm telling you, and this was 56 like,
yards away, man.
Yeah, well, there's some power in them, like, it's crazy, like.
He showed me a picture, one of his customers had sent in, out in a few rabbits.
Yeah.
He had 5 rabbits and no damage, man.
No, you see, that's another class. You know what I mean? No, 100%, man. That is another class thing about, yeah?
Like,
yeah,
zero damage, man.
Zero damage, like, yeah, exactly. Like, even a 2-2, if you don't get in the right place, you're going to...
Unless you go headshot, man, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%, yeah, and definitely the 1-7, like, you know, fucking forget about, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
So,
have a look at them.
Absolutely, man.
They are fucking well worth it, without a shadow of a doubt, you know?
So, yeah, get on, so you can find the boys in Center Gold there on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
I think Owen looks after all the...
Yes.
The social media stuff, so he'll... And the beauty of there is you can rock on over after hours.
Exactly.
The guys are over there.
They're all open, I think they're open nearly every night, bar maybe Friday night.
Till 8 o'clock or something like that.
Yeah, too. Yeah. I think 9 o'clock they open.
Is it 9 o'clock?
Yeah. I think it's 9 o'clock to open.
You'll be lucky to get out at 9.
You will, yeah. Mick will start chatting to you and you'll be there for a while and you'll start exchanging stories. And
that'll
be exactly it, you know.
You'll obviously see the full range then on Air Max arms. Yeah,
exactly. And Mick does, obviously, he does a whole range. He does shotguns and rifles and everything. But yeah, give them a shout and tell
How
them.
How was 10, Brenny?
Oh, man, it's heavy, right? It is heavy, but, you know, it's the chassis that's on it and all. It's a heavy. I'm going to score it. I'm going to score it 8.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a couple of little things, I suppose, like that. Yeah, the weight obviously is a little, you know, they're heavy going. Not overly heavy, but
no,
like...
No, not outrageous heavy.
Yeah,
now,
yeah,
like,
but depending on which model that
not,
you want.
They're not Bergara heavy, but they're heavy enough.
Good man. That's a fucking... Oh, speaking of which, man, I fucking had your...
Did you?
...feather in my hand.
You weren't supposed to touch that.
I'll tell you one thing, man.
How dare you?
This is cheat. This is like cheating.
This is like exactly.
to explain how light this fucking gun was, right? Mick said, "Here's the obviously the gun comes in a not in a case, but in a holster. You know, like a carry bag.
Yeah,
and a padded carry bag. And he said, I don't even know whether it's in there or not. I said, what? I said, no, it's not in that. I just opened the zip and the gun was in it.
That's the fuck.
So as light as it was, it was lighter again when I took it out, man.
Yeah, it's unreal, isn't it? I told you, man. It is hard to believe when you have it in your hand, you're there. Fucking hell, like. So yeah.
Is that called the super light or something?
The super light, yeah. £4.
It should be called super light, man. It's just unbelievably light.
I'm telling you, man. £4.7 I think. Something along the lines of that. It's crazy, like. And even, like, I know obviously you have to put a scope in it, but like it's still going to be an outrageously light rifle, like. Yeah. What'd you like of it? What marks out? Well, we'll do it. No, we want to give it marks out of 10.
No, no.
Well, initial marks out of 10. What do you think of the look of it?
The look of it's cool, man.
It's deadly,
it is deadly.
Yeah, thanks.
It is deadly. Now, look, I'd be more of a traditional Woodstock, obviously. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But like, it is cool, man.
Yeah.
It is fucking cool, man.
It's deadly. Yeah,
and
yeah.
And like that, well, obviously the lightness, man. I it's just
hard to believe.
Similar to the air rifle stuff, like, you know, when he said that's super light, I kind of But I can't compare it. It's like a tie gun, man. That's what I'm not. Isn't it? It's like a tie gun.
It's crazy. It is absolutely crazy.
Do not think that this is going to fire.
No.
6.5 fucking Creedmoor out of that thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Oh, man. Man, speaking of 6.5, man, the stick that the people are giving over that. Oh, my. I sent you the one today, the TikTok, did I?
No.
Oh, man, I could not stop laughing at. Especially this one fellow. He's like, he comes in and he's playing. He's like, Dad, I've got something to tell you. I've got something I've got to talk to you about. He's like, what is it, son? You can talk to me about anything. Well, you know the way you always said I should express myself and I should be very open to it. He says, yeah, of course, son, of course. What is it, son? Spit it out. He says, well, I bought a 6.5 Creedmoor and I like it. He goes back over to the father. You just see the father taking off the belt. I don't know what it's all about, man, but
I actually asked Mick that question. I said to him, like, what is the story? Like, is there any inclination as to, you know, why there's the kind of backlash?
Yeah.
Now, I think, and I stand corrected on this, but apart from the very rare one over this neck of the woods, it's predominantly, I think, you know, it's American kind of, what would you say, anti-sentiment, I think. I don't think I've seen too many of it over here.
Okay, yeah, I mean? Yeah.
So Mick was saying, like, obviously the round speaks for itself. It's an extremely, you know, flat flying round. And,
So
very true and accurate.
Yeah.
So, like, obviously it can't be had to do with that. And, you know, it packs a nice bit of punch. Yeah, obviously, so,
exactly, yeah.
But I think Creedmoor is actually a place in America, okay. I think, where it was
designed
and formulated.
Okay, okay.
But he said he just thinks maybe it could be, you know, because the American contingent, like, bigger is better. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, exactly. It's too small for them. Like,
put a grenade launcher in front of the gun, you're a hero.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that's what I took from. I thought it was because a lot of them are working with, like, 270s and 30-06s and 303s and, you know, stuff like that. So I thought because it's a smaller round, but it packs a fucking fair punch.
Punch, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was maybe what it's about. But I don't care.
Dead is dead, baby.
Dead is dead, man. Exactly. Yeah. So I haven't seen it yet. I'm kind of raging. You've seen it now, you fucker.
Yeah, no, I made sure I seen it, man.
Did you?
Yeah, I made sure I asked.
Straight away.
Well impressed. And and of course, I bought something when I was over there.
What did you buy?
Well, I got, you'll be delighted.
You never told me this. Yeah.
You know, breaking news. We'll do a little review on it anyway. But
right.
So obviously I have the Primus tripod, yeah?
Yeah.
And Mick is right on my fucking, like, we're good shooters anyway.
Well, so he doesn't like them, does he?
It's funny how you find kindred spirits, you know?
Okay,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, no, he's a tripod as well.
Does he?
Yeah, no, he wouldn't use quad sticks, man.
Yeah, but is his one actually, like, it clamps it?
He has the pig saddle, yeah.
Yeah, it's the only job.
But there's a really cool attachment. So Spartan obviously made this. Did you see them, no?
No.
So it's like little attachment for the top of my tripod, right?
Right.
And it's magnetic. Right?
Right, right.
So it has a little spigot. And it's really, you can just touch a lever and it'll
release.
Harden the adjustment on it.
Yeah.
And you get a little clamp for the bottom of my gun. Right?
Right,
and
right. So just pop, clips on.
Just fucking sits on.
Are you serious, yeah? That's cool, man.
Yeah, wait till you see this, man.
Is it?
I think it's called pig saddle, I think.
That's fuck. And is it made by Spartan?
Spartan, yeah.
That is the job, man. I've seen some of the Spartan stuff, but not on a Primus. I haven't seen it, but I didn't think
you'd. Yeah, no, you can obviously buy the Primus sticks, but like a tripod.
The Spartan sticks. Okay.
The Spartan ones. And but I think they're £1,000 or something.
Yeah, they're expensive, yeah.
So,
yeah.
No, I won't be buying them.
Yeah.
So I have the Primus, but I can get it. I think it'll fit my the only thing he didn't have, which is getting in, is because mine is a wooden stock.
Yeah.
I need an adapter for the spigot part. So
okay.
I haven't got it yet, obviously. So when it's in, he's going to give me a
shout. Savage. Deadly. Jeez, I can't wait to see that myself.
I just thought it'd be really cool for, you know, when you're fox hunting.
Yeah, you can kind of
just set up and then do your spotting.
Yeah,
do
you know exactly. I mean? Yeah, do your spotting. Yeah, that's deadly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it'll be handy for deer too, like.
It will, of course. Yeah, yeah, it will, of course. Yeah. But yeah, I just think that's, and then obviously then it gives you that more adjustment as well. So to keep your stock plumb, do you know, when you're, especially when you're out in you know, the areas we're shooting with bogland and stuff like that, mm-hmm. it tends to be, you know, like this kind of, you know, yeah. trying to get straight and get your stock up, you know, back
yeah.
plumb, you know, whereas this, you know, because of the spigot, so you have obviously on my tripod is adjustable, but if you need even that little bit more,
you can lean it over.
Lean it over on
okay.
the other side.
Yes, so, yeah. So no excuses from now on.
Ah, look, man, not that I don't make excuses. Bang.
Man, I'd nearly be converting myself. No, I wouldn't, no. No, definitely not, no. I can't wait to see it, though. That's some job. Good stuff, man, good stuff. Next thing we want to talk, UChem Bear and Gifts, man. I seen these and I was like, I hope there's two. You
know? And I specifically knew you did, but I didn't tell you. So I left him thinking all
You're
day.
You're such a prick. I knew I
like surprise,
that.
Man. I'm one of them people, you know.
You like surprise you, but what if other people are like?
Yeah, well, look,
fuck them.
It's my life and that's all that matters.
Exactly, I've had my fun, that's all that matters. These are, talk us through these, man. These are class. So we're holding our
Irish Hunting Podcast kind of ridge style wallet.
Wallet. Man, these are fucking savage.
Bespoke, customised. Like, they're fucking deadly, man.
They are class.
Yeah.
I swear. I'm going to transfer everything into this before I go to bed tonight.
That's what I did automatically. So I have mine here.
That is
my life is in there. And how cool is that?
I'll tell you one thing, man. That is absolutely class. This is from the absolute... we're just going to call them legends. We don't use it too often.
No.
So we're going to... This is from the absolute legends that are Small Arms Services below in County Cork, by.
Yeah.
Good stuff coming out of Cork.
Absolutely.
Chefs.
We've
gunsmiths. Gunsmiths. I tell you one thing. Not bad now.
No, now, Philip...
Except Beamish. Beamish pure shape.
But yeah, the lads down, obviously to do the Cerakote and all that kind of work on guns, but on top of that they do some really fucking cool shit, like,
man,
this type of stuff, you know, key rings and bottle openers, which we have as well,
titanium bottle openers, man.
Yeah,
titanium, that is
Philip, this is Philip's words now, man. I hope I'm paraphrasing. It's badass. For a badass podcast.
What and a legend. Did he say that?
No, I made that one up. Oh. Like, I thought that was really cool.
He could have lied. He said, I quote, that's his quote.
No, most definitely. Philip made it up. But yeah, our colours fucking like kick ass.
Oh, man, they're hunting wallet. And I wouldn't mind, would you normally use a wallet? Would you be?
Yeah.
And I've been trying to change it for fucking ages, man.
Yeah.
That is deadly.
Now, I used to have one of the Ridge wallets, you know, where, but they were limited to like 5 cards. So I found them kind of, and actually, that clip there, I was digressing. The bell clip. That's not a bell clip. It's actually a money clip, man. Sorry.
Oh, a money clip. Yes, exactly. Fucking right.
That makes it even fucking cooler again.
That is fucking savage, man.
So
will it fit all your money in there?
Rob Tracy actually said the exact same. That just reminds me that I was right. These are two pricks.
No, Jez, you're only figuring that out now, lads. Yeah. Or something not right.
Anyway, look, we'll move on because I'm sick of getting insulted. But it's not like, aren't they? The cool thing is they're elasticated,
man.
So you can kind of double up or hide a little bit more money in there.
Yeah.
If you're like Brennan and there's loads of it. So yeah.
They're savage. I have Small Arms Services. Check the buys out. I think you put up a couple of videos on the laser engraver and stuff, the way it works. But what a cool idea. Even for a non-off gift. Like, you can't buy this off the shelf. Like,
no.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's fucking deadly. Like, for anyone that's out there that's thinking like, oh fuck, I don't know what to get them. Fucking get them something like this.
Yeah, yeah.
They love it. That is deadly.
Look, we will be. We were talking to Philip. We'll probably throw a few of these into production. And because already there's a few people there asking about them. So
yeah,
we probably will add them to the line of merchandise, I suppose.
Yes,
they're kind of like a really one-off kind of cool thing.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I love it.
I just think they're fucking
absolutely love it.
Absolutely deadly.
Yeah, legends, lads. Thanks a million, because I haven't talked to them, lads. out the craftsmanship and that's in them is absolutely phenomenal. So yeah, thanks a million.
I'd love actually, Philip did invite us down to have a look around.
Yeah,
he's a long distance shooter himself. I think he did a bit of pistol shooting and stuff back in the day.
Cool.
And I know he sticks the podcast on the workshop down there.
Oh, deadly.
So hello to all the lads. Thanks a million for listening in.
Yeah.
We're glad, really glad you tune in, and we thank you for your support. And he had actually got a few hoodies off us there, which are hopefully on the way down to him shortly. So, and like that, the bottle openers as well, stainless steel bottle openers, deadly, and the titanium
keyring. Savage, oh, please. Fucking. Keep up the good work, whatever you're doing. It's fucking class. Yeah. Absolutely class. Absolute legends, yeah. That is unbelievable, man.
Deadly.
What are we going to do on next week's podcast? We need to get out fishing.
We'll, man.
I know, you're under pressure. You're under a bit of pressure and stuff, but...
No, we really need to do it. We need it. Like, I think we should pencil in a day.
Maybe next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's what we'll do. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Let's get it out and get it on the worm.
Let's get on the waters, right?
Yeah.
The one last thing.
Yeah.
Are you going to tell everyone what you fucking seen on Monday night, man? Because I haven't been talking to you since.
Yeah, honest to God, man. Yeah, well, I suppose I want to start this conversation, first of all, before everyone going, this fucking man. I'm not really, I won't say I'm not a believer in, like, conspiracy theories, life outside of Earth, or like afterlife, or anything like that. I'm not one of those people that just, you know, I don't, it's not something
you
I think about.
It's just Brennan.
Well, it's just, yeah, like,
it's all about Brennan.
Exactly. No.
And Deb will attest to that.
No, it's, no, she wouldn't. No. I'm just not one person that I just don't. You know the way some people, they believe in stuff so much, I think a lot of time they let their imagination runs a bit
blinkered,
wild. So I'm not like that. But yeah, we were out on, what was that, Tuesday night? Monday night. Myself and Big Mac, of course, were out for a couple of rabbits and an old fox. Missed two rabbits and realised I was using a different round. So anyone that says, oh, doesn't matter, it absolutely does. So whenever you have zero to use it. So yeah, I don't know how I fucked up there. I obviously brought out the wrong box of rounds. But anyway, so we were in a field just about a couple of hundred metres from my own house. 12:30 at night, I had the infrared and I was having a bit of a look around and dropped it down and I looked at McKeever, and McKeever, he was just obviously just glancing up into the abyss, and I looked at him and said, what are you looking at? And he just looked up, he said, what the fuck is that? And I says, what are you looking at? And I just looked up and instantaneously I could see it, right? Now, the only way to explain it was, it was like, I suppose, like, if you were to look at it, like, for a minute, you'd think you'd say, oh, it's an airplane. You know, say, oh, that's an airplane. But then when you studied it for a second, there was two things that came immediately apparent. First thing was, the distance it was away was unhuman. I mean, like, you know, even that plane that's at, say, if planes fly at 38,000 feet, you know, you look at him and say, yeah, he's at, I'm not saying you'd be exactly accurate, but you can gauge the distance.
Yeah.
This thing was fucking 50 times higher than that. I don't know 50 times, but it wasn't anywhere near that. And then the second thing that was very, very clear and evident was the speed in which it was going. It was unhuman. I've never seen anything like this in all my life. Like, you know the way, if you look up at a plane, like, planes are flying at probably, you know, they're probably flying at 0.8 of a Mach, or, you know, it's probably, you know, 600-700 kilometers per hour. But you can look at it and you can follow it for a dry line,
yeah.
Yeah, for quite a while, like, and it looks and all, it doesn't look like it's barely moving.
Yeah.
This thing, man, was, you know, I can't exaggerate, I can't even probably describe how fucking fast this was moving, like. And then now this is the paper people are gonna go, oh, here we fucking go. We've heard this before. But there was a light. There was a light from, I suppose, what would you say, at the front of it or whatever. There was a light. You could see a light. And there was no red flashing light or anything like that, but there was a light at the front of it. And as it was coming, now we were only looking at this thing for maybe a minute or two. About a minute, I'd say. And as it was coming, now, not when it was directly over us, but as it was coming, the light that was on the front, it, like, as if the light that was on the front turned down. And there was just not a massive flash, but a fairly fucking significant flash, a light flash out of this thing. Like if, you know, we both, like, said, fucking hell. And next thing, then the light, is like as if that light went back to the position it was in. And we followed it, man, for about another 10 or 15 seconds, honestly. And then it just completely disappeared. But the speed in which it was going at was, I can't stress that enough. Now, I'd be a bit of a plane, an aviation geek. I love that in aviation. I have an app on my phone, Plane Finder app, and it goes in, and if there's a plane flying over, it'll show you on the map, and it tells you where it is, the altitude and all that, right? So the first thing I looked at was that. I said, is it a plane? And it wasn't. There wasn't a plane within fucking 60 fucking knocking miles of us. And then the second app I have on the phone is the ISS, the space station app. And it's kind of cool because it sometimes goes on to a live feed and all that. But at the time when I was looking at that, which was at 12:30 on Monday night, the US space station was somewhere on the west coast of America. So it wasn't that. Maybe it was a satellite. I don't know fucking anything about them. And they say, I don't know anything about...
It's not even a fucking torch.
Yeah, honest to God, I don't know anything about them. But all I can do is tell you exactly what we've seen. And McKeever will attest to this as well. And we both walked the whole way up the field and we both said, what is that? What are we just after seeing there? Like, it's not a fucking shooting star. It's not a plane. It's not the space station. What the fuck is that?
You didn't stop to pick up a few mushrooms rattling away, no.
I know, man, I know. No. I know, no, we didn't, no. We definitely didn't, no.
Thank God you didn't do that. Hallucinogenics,
yeah.
That's so fucking mad, man.
Yeah, man, honest to God, no, genuinely, that's, and again, I'm not some lad that would sit here with a fucking
look,
tin
file.
Look,
man, I'm going to be honest, right, you know, like, spade is spade, you're not the greatest shooter in the world, you're not the greatest fisherman, but like... You're not one to bullshit, you know?
No, not really. No, I suppose not. That'd be my probably fault in a lot of ways. I'd be probably a bit too strappy.
No, like that. Like, if somebody else telling me the story, I wouldn't fucking believe
it. But this is a
that's fucking mad.
Like, and then
I'm just saying, like, you're a club man. I don't think I'm going to be fucking going back. There's some freaky fucking shit happening.
This wasn't in the club, man. This was across the road.
Oh, fuck.
That's the fuck, man.
Well, it is Bradford, I suppose. Like, you know. Do you know what I mean?
We're on the good side of fucking Kildare here, lad. The good side of Kildare, for fuck's sake. You're from Blade, Newtown, what?
I'm from Heartland.
Heartland, Blade and Enfield. Blade and Enfield, what? Blade and Rappa. I'm the Dublin side of Enfield. honest to God, man, that's what we saw. Like, I can't, but hopefully someone's out. I was thinking, like, chances are it was probably, maybe there's like some sort of a satellite that was moving or something. I don't know fucking anything about it, but the light was a bit fucked up, all right, so.
That is fucked up, man.
Yeah,
maybe it's coming back to get that fucking squawky thing that we heard the previous night before.
Exactly.
I don't know, man.
I didn't get anal probed or anything as far as I know. So
maybe we shouldn't have mentioned that on this particular, but we're encouraging people to get out and hunt, and then we're telling them there's UFOs and unexplained fucking banshee kind of screaming going on.
Yeah, well, look, we saw it. It was cool. It was
get out there. Definitely. Your anxiety will be gone.
Exactly. Yeah. You'll have something completely new to worry about.
Banshee chasing you in the woods at 12 o'clock at night.
Go home and lock yourself in the bedroom. But yeah, man, that was it. I can't explain it. Don't know what the fuck it was. Hopefully there's someone out there that'll say, yeah, it's you're a fucking eagle. It's only such a fucking thing. But genuinely, the speed of this, like, I can't really, you know, describe how fast it was moving. But like, it was just moving so fast. Like, it was, that was what was crazy.
Look, maybe it wasn't it that was moving. Maybe it was, do you know what I mean? Us that was moving.
I don't
relative
know.
To it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah,
100%. I don't fucking know,
man. I've no. My astronomy say, wouldn't be great. Yeah.
It's never night you don't go out. We don't see something.
Honest to shit, man. That is for sure. Yeah. Honest to God. Yeah, exactly.
I got some really cool, actually, thermal images as well, which I'll be sharing over next, of some hares and rabbits, man.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, man. I'll share them over the next couple of days. But
yeah.
Just because I like that, I just took a moment and it was two or three hares like bouncing around. And
deadly.
I just, it was something to.
Cool.
Again. To highlight like what you were doing as well, the clarity of which,
yeah, absolutely. I had to laugh at some of the lads in the English ones. Oh, what a fucking cow at fucking 30 fucking yards.
Yeah, what about the cow that was behind
see
that
the cow
that
and was, then the other one that was behind that one. Remember that other one that was about 200 yards.
Well, first off, the first cow, there's a thing called, especially on the Zoom, you know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah, you know, yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
sure the cow was maybe probably 60, 70 yards when yeah. he took that shot.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
then, yeah, you can start counting back.
Counting so back. Work
one cow,
out.
Two cow, five, you know, yeah. quite quickly. You can go all the way to maybe 300 yards there.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah. But just don't get it. But anyway, yeah, nothing matters.
And then the ironic thing as well, that if you wanted to, you could actually zoom in on the furthest cow away.
Yes.
And have him looking like the first cow. So on we go.
It was just well, the whole point of that post just went over so many people's heads. Yeah. But anyway, sure, look, you can't say.
But the worrying part, like, because when we're here, like, saying we're all in this together, but then there is people that maybe shouldn't be in the sport too. Like, there's one guy who said, like, you know, you don't really need clarity in terms of spotter. A blob will do or something to that kind of effect.
A blob will do. Jesus Christ. No, we do not.
Just for spotting purposes.
What are you talking about? A blob could be anything. Astros me or Jimmy. You blobs. It's only fucking Jimmy. Jesus Christ, man, or something.
I had a bit of diabetes. Was on his last legs. Do you know, for fuck's sake, man.
And then someone put up a post, you know, did you see some lad commented on the video with the magpie?
Oh, yeah.
About witches.
No.
Yeah, he says over in Africa, they're owned by witches or something. I was just like, okay. What do you want me to do with that information?
No, I did block a couple of nut jobs, you know, with that's evil. Or,
yeah, was there a few?
Yeah. Was there? Right. I was going to just put up one of the pictures of the O's that last week that I seen.
Yeah, with their eyes pecked
evil,
out.
Yeah, you're right, man.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, evil.
They're evil little fuckers.
Evil little bastards. Yeah. Yeah. Honest to God, yeah. But you look at you can't fix stupid, as the fella says.
No, no cure for it, Bernie.
Sinead, Ed, right, we wrap man, it up there.
Better, because it's 12 o'clock at
12
night.
12 o'clock at night, man. I have to go out. Where am I tomorrow? Up in Dublin somewhere, I suppose, yeah.
12. It's half 12. Let's get 12. The fuck out of here.
Let's keep her lit. Hope you all enjoyed that.
Yeah, hopefully that's something different. And, thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in. It's food for thought. And any lad that's out there that's under a bit of pressure, get out for a walk at least, anyhow.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Vote for the Irish Hunting Podcast. Become the next host of the Late Late Show.
No, ship sailed. It's that other fucking yacht from the north. Guilty, is it?
Guilty.
Yeah. Yeah, that ship has sailed, man. Imagine us that we get on. My microphone's not working. Oh man, it'd be fucking cat, wouldn't it?
At least no, we'd have somebody to do that, man.
Yeah, it'd be some job actually, yeah. Wouldn't it? It'd be yeah. fucking grand.
We'd be there. Yeah. Hey Roisin, fix that sound there, will you?
I'd be standing there looking over shoulder. Oh, so that's how you do it. Oh fuck, I was wondering what that button was for. Yeah,
exactly, yeah.
Come here, don't forget as well, get your subscriptions out for Rural Pursuits. I think it's open now. You can order it now.
Yeah.
That'll be coming out in another couple of weeks. So yeah, there's going to be some class stories now. Can't wait for that.
Can't wait for that, man. It's always kind of I kind of hope he does another couple of. I look at.
He wants to start doing them every fucking month.
Yeah. Come on.
Come on, John, to fuck out that, yeah. So, but yeah. Anyway, yeah, jump online there for Rural Pursuits on Facebook and Instagram. And it's going to be available, I think, in widely in a lot of bookstores and hunting stores.
Over there. Yeah, it's everywhere. Everywhere.
So, if not, you can get it online. It's just as handy delivered to your
deadly.
Own. Deadly. Sinead, lad, we'll wrap it up there.
Over and out, buddy.
Have a good one. Take it easy.